talking now with State Representative Todd Lippert from District 20B. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for coming in today.
Glad to be here.
We have, boy, it's been not just at the Capitol. The Capitol's been, I guess, kind of quiet as far as headlines go. But just around the world, I mean, the civil rights trial, the Russians invading Kiev. You know, you get into things, situations where the world, there's so much happening around the country and around the world. Does that distract any of the legislators from what you're doing? Is there a lot of talk going on, you know, behind the scenes and stuff about what's happening?
We're certainly watching what's happening in Ukraine very closely. And my colleague Frank Hornstein took a moment of personal privilege on the floor yesterday and just shared some of his family connections. His mother was in Ukraine as World War I was starting, and so was drawing some parallels for all of us. And there was just a very somber mood on the floor, and we took a moment of silence for the people of Ukraine yesterday. So we're watching everything very closely. And also staying focused on, you know, we have a limited time for our session and making sure we're getting our work done. So both happening at the same time.
All right. Let's talk about some of the things that you've been doing this week. We've talked for quite some time, seems like last summer, about pay for frontline workers. And the House has passed their version of the bill, I understand, off the floor now. Tell us about
that. We did. So we passed our version of the frontline worker bonus pay bill off the floor. This has been a priority of ours. There are 700,000 Minnesotans that couldn't stay home during the pandemic. So they were either caring for us or holding us together through the pandemic. Healthcare workers, first responders, school staff, those in retail, grocery, truck drivers, all those people who couldn't stay home during the pandemic. And this bonus pay bill is a way to say thank you. We appreciate the work you've done, appreciate the sacrifices you've made, and it would be a boost to family budgets. Those frontline workers would be able to apply for a $1,500 check. So we were pleased to be able to get this to the finish line for at least moving it off the floor in the House chamber. And we're seeing the contrast now starting to shape up between the DFL focus and the GOP focus. So the GOP has been focusing on the Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund, and our concerns with their plan is the way that it really would benefit the largest companies. So, for example, Amazon would get $1.6 million a year in their plan. Walmart would get $6 million a year in their plan. And we have real concerns about large amounts of money in their plan going to large corporations. In contrast, we'll be focusing on workers and families and ways that we can support those who need it the most right now.
One of the differences in that frontline workers is also who gets the money. The DFL has a little bit broader perspective, I guess, on that. From what I understand, the GOP would like to see that a little more focused on, you know, healthcare workers and the frontline people who have been working through the pandemic in the healthcare industry. Was there quite a bit of talk about that, discussion about that on the floor?
There was conversation about that. Majority Leader Ryan Winkler talked about that in his speech very clearly. He said over the summer, the frontline worker group that was shaping this bill and shaping the conversation heard from workers throughout the summer, not just in healthcare, but they heard from workers who were working across the economy, people working in packing plants, for example, who couldn't come in, and there were outbreaks in the couldn't stay home, and there were outbreaks in the plant, and they needed to keep working. And it was people in jobs like that across our state that were keeping things going through the pandemic. So we do have a more expansive plan. And since we have a surplus, we feel like a good way to use some of that surplus dollars is to make sure that we're rewarding those workers, saying thank you, and boosting family budgets in a small way.
Is this money going to come from the budget surplus?
Yep. So this would be from the budget surplus. There's kind of two pots of budget surplus money. Some is ongoing. Some is one time. We feel like this is a good use of some one-time dollars to put a few more dollars in some families' pockets.
What's the price tag on that?
So the overall package is a $1 billion package. And, you know, the GOP has been pushing a $2.7 billion package for UI. So those are some of our, you know, competing proposals right now as far as bigger ticket items. But we were pleased to get this off the House floor last night.
All right. State Representative Todd Lippert is with us. Representative Lippert, I know that you have been working on your own bills. You've authored several that you're shepherding through right now. What tell us about those.
Yeah, so I had a busier week this week. The session's starting to pick up. Had five different bill hearings. One that I was excited to have a hearing on in preventive health relates to a testing program for people who rely on private wells. 1.2 million Minnesotans rely on private wells for their drinking water. So if you live in Northfield or Lonsdale, for example, you have systems in place that test that water to make sure it's safe when it comes out of your tap. People who rely on a private well, they don't have that that safety in place, and we haven't been testing it in a comprehensive way. So this would provide support to the Department of Health to make sure they can work with local units of government and tribal governments to test private wells. We know there are contamination issues in private wells across the state, whether it's nitrate, arsenic, manganese, and some of the solutions for dealing with that contamination are really simple. So if someone would find that there's contamination in their well, the bill would also provide some support to help them deal with it. Sometimes it's just a few hundred dollars. Sometimes it's a little bit more than that. So this is a comprehensive approach to private well testing, and it was well received, and I'm hopeful that this is the time that we can get it done this session.
All right. And that was in which committee?
It was in Preventive Health, which is a policy committee. It'll go on to Health and Human, Health Finance Committee next.
All right. Are there other bills of note that you've been working on, trying to get through?
Yeah. Earlier in the week, I talked last week about the grid modernization project for Northfield that I was working on. That had a hearing, and that hearing went well. So we've had an issue in Northfield for those who have been putting solar on their roofs. They've been told by Xcel that they need to pay an interconnection fee, sometimes up to $15,000. Others are being told they're going to have to wait 2 to 3 years to get their solar connected to the grid. And part of it's an issue with Xcel, and the PUC's going to be holding Xcel accountable on that, it sounds like. But part of it's just that we need to move to a smart grid to be able to get more distributed energy on the grid. And this is not just unique to Northfield. This will be true for communities across the state. So we have a pilot project that we're proposing, and we think it's a great fit for the renewable development account. That will provide some money to Northfield to develop a smart grid out. The city has been partnering with Nokomis Energy on this. Had a good reception in the committee. My colleagues are very supportive. So I felt like we took a good step forward in that hearing, and I'll be trying to push that along the rest of the session.
Do you know much about this? I'm really intrigued by this whole grid modernization, and I know you're not a
I'm not an electrical engineer, but I have learned some things along the way.
Making that grid smart, are there different states or maybe different entities that have been working on this? Have you seen what they can do and what needs to be done, or are you just kind of walking through this blindly?
No, there's some other communities across the country that have put smart grids like this in place. I was at a solar conference talking about the challenges that we're facing in Northfield, and there were people there from across the country, and they were saying that you know, there are consistent challenges everywhere, and there are basic things that we need. We need more software for the grid so that the power can start moving in different directions to the places where it's needed. We need more storage on the grid. We need different technology like smart meters. So there are some basic components that can be put in place. And, you know, that software can actually help understand what's happening on the grid in real time, and adjustments can start happening in real time. Currently, that isn't happening at all. So I know some of the basics of some of the things we need, and this plan would put that in place. And we'd learn a lot more by having Northfield go through this pilot project.
All right. That sounds really intriguing, and best of luck to you with that. Once again, State Representative Todd Lippert is with us. other things happening at the state legislature, any other bills or events that you'd like to let people know about?
So this next week on Monday, I'll have a hearing in the Agriculture Committee that I'm excited about. We have some continuous living cover crops that are really starting to get a foothold or just kind of at the edge of commercialization in Minnesota. These are crops that keep the land covered all the time, that would make a more resilient agriculture in the face of, you know, increasing rains due to climate change. And some of these sequester significant amounts of carbon too. The next step for them is support for commercialization to help with processing and things like that. So we have a bill to help with the supply chain for continuous living cover crops in the Agriculture Committee. Was excited that the governors included these crops in the governor's agriculture proposal. We'll have a significant proposal coming from my bill. So I'm hopeful. And then we heard Senator Westrum, Republican ag lead in the Senate, is also excited about this bill. So I think we can get some money across the finish line this session for these crops. And I'll be looking forward to that hearing on Monday.
Are you talking about crops like Kernza?
Absolutely.
Yes, you turned me on to that a couple of years ago. I've been a Kernza fan ever since.
Right. So Kernza, winter camelina, pennycress, hazelnuts, elderberry, regenerative poultry. These are, you know, we would be providing some grants to businesses that are doing some processing in these areas. And these are all crops that have the chance to be scaled up across the upper Midwest, be good for good profitable options for farmers, good for communities, good for the environment too. Many wins, and hopefully we can give those crops a boost this year.
All right. Representative Lippert, I know you've got a busy day. Anything else you'd like to pass along before we let you go?
Always glad to be here. Things are just starting to heat up a little bit in the session now, and people are free to contact me anytime. My email is rep.todd.lippert@house.mn.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
State Representative Todd Lippert joins us every Friday during the legislative session here on 95.1 FM and AM 1080 KYMN Northfield. We've got Rich coming in with local news in just a moment.
This ball is crushed.
Registration for Northfield Youth Baseball in-house program is open. Yes, we know there is still snow on the ground, but you must register before March 15th to get your child's name on the list for kindergarten through 8th grade in-house roster.